Y'all sit down. That's another way of saying that. You know, I have to tell you, I'm not very good at keeping up with the latest of the latest. I try to be kind of pertinent in the world, but my daughter Sarah is better at that. But now that she's preoccupied with my grandson, who turned 2 on Saturday, not that I'm bragging or nothing. Oh, thank you. Yeah, he's a pistol just like his mama. But I do fall behind on things. I don't have any tattoos. And there's another thing that came out called branding. Have you heard about that? People that are branding themselves. I don't have any intentional brands. I work with hot metals sometimes. I do some welding and stuff. So I've got a couple of different places that remind me of where I was not careful. But I don't do that intentionally. And I am not all that happy to be around needles, to be honest with you. So why in the world would I head for tattooing? But neither here nor there, no judgments. Just differences of ways of being. All of this comes because we're listening to Philippians. Did you hear this morning? Beware of those and the mutilation of the flesh. That's not what Paul is talking about at all. That's not what's going on. And some that might want to read that in there are off track with where Paul is about. He's talking about the Jewish people who form in the tradition of circumcision. Now, you want to think about that for a moment, because that's a decision about a commitment. And the time and place when it was that pivotal amount, you, as a Jewish male, you could not say you were not Jewish. The proof was in the flesh. And so this was a severe commitment to being one of those. No longer true. Now it's a matter of hygiene and young men, it's just done as an early age or not, but no longer as much. But it was a commitment, and it was not only that, but for those who had been circumcised, it was almost a bragging point. And they would brag about their special priority, their specialness to God. And Paul admits that he is, as having grown up Jewish, and his role as a Pharisee, that he could brag in the same ways, but he's pushing back against that and against those who demand that. Yesterday we celebrated Ruth Duggan, and intriguingly, there was as we were preparing, they brought in a folder they found that she had put together on Burns. I'm going to have to share that with the community. Most of you will know more about it than I do. And I forgot to get you that picture. Did I get the picture? Oh, she has it. Please. Now, none of you will remember that, but that was the first church. That's 1,000 Ursula. That house is still there. And it's just over there. A ways. And you can see in the background here, one of these two girls in the very back is Ruth, and they're going into church. The church was in the garage. It was a double car garage, and they hung curtains across the garage doors, and they had it set up, and Dennis Shaw was the pastor. Things have changed a little, haven't they? The church migrated from there to the building next to us that we call the Chinese church. Now, how many of you remember worshiping in there? There's a bunch of you that were active there. And then it was connected to this building by a walkway. Richard Schneer has explained some of that to me, and we dug up some of the foundation for that when we were repairing a gas line. But so we have evolved from different buildings and different places, different gatherings and different groups. Nothing stays the same, does it? It just continues to talk, continues to change. Paul reflects on that. Thank you, Paya. Paul reflects on that in his passage. He says, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal. A better translation might be, not that I have already made it to perfection. It's a big word. It's a Wesley word. It's a Jesus word. It's a Paul word. And this moving on is about moving on to perfection. Paul says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. Pressing on, moving forward, moving ahead. I don't know if any of you know Reverend Ron Hodges. I know that Shelley knows Ron, and Ron and I crossed paths many times over our careers. He was a first pastor at Johnstown after I was there, and we actually did some services together, a lot of fun. And one of those, we were waiting for something, and we were standing, and someone that had known Ron came up, and they were chatting, and Ron said, "How are you?" to the man, and the man said, "Well, I'm just hanging on." Ron said, "No! No, you are moving on to perfection, aren't you?" I literally jumped. Did any of you jump when I did that? It was kind of intentional. No, we are not just sitting on our laurels. No, we are not just being what we have been. We are moving on. There's something going on. We're moving on to perfection. And Ron stressed that, and Ron urged that, and Ron called upon people to constantly be aware that we aren't there yet, but we're moving there, we're heading there. We cannot and we are not standing still. If we are standing still, we are slipping back. Now, this is a fun game I play with myself sometimes now. I try and think of when was the perfect time so far in my life? When was life perfect for me? And I remember being a teenager living in Western Colorado, rural Colorado, and I could go out and hunt, and I could go out and fish, and I could go out, and we built a raft to float in the Colorado River, and we could go down onto an island, and we built things, chopped down trees, and we did all kinds of fun things. It was just the perfect place for a young man at that day and age and that time, and I feel so privileged to have had that opportunity. Was that perfect? Was that the perfect time in life? We've been reflecting on the greatest generation. There's been reflection that we're just at the last of those who were the greatest generation. That World War II was an astounding time, and people refer to the many who gave so much and did so much as the greatest generation. And I'm not arguing in any way or what have you, but was that a perfect time? And then I reflect back and I pause and I think, and remember that, no, there were issues then. We tend to put on rose-colored glasses, and we look back and envision things through in a golden sense. Time has a way of turning our memories into the great things and hopefully forgetting some of those other things that were not okay. But in the 60s, when I was a kid growing up, it was Vietnam. That was not a good time. The nation was torn in pieces. I remember visiting a woman whose son was in Vietnam and realizing what a hell she was living, worrying about him every moment, every day. I kind of brushed it off. I was kind of isolated from that. My cousin went, and he never really came back, not correctly. But it was things that at the time, I could put aside as a young person. There was sexism, there was classism, there was discrimination, there were pollution, there were ecological disasters happening around. And I didn't really know them, wasn't aware of them. I remember floating down the creek called Parachute Creek there. And there were little ditches coming from the houses along the creek. And I thought, I wonder what the water, and I asked Dad, I said, "Why are all those little ditches?" He says, "That's their sewer line, dumping their raw sewage right into the creek, and we are floating along, swimming in it." Took me a minute to just realize there was a time when that was the way life was. It was a golden age, and yet it wasn't. So there has not been a perfect time. If there was, perhaps that would have been the end of time. Perhaps that would have been returning to the Garden of Eden. Remember, that was a perfect time. God had it all set. Everything was perfect. But humanity chose to step out of the garden. Disobeyed, and were thrust out of the garden. You can phrase it how you like. But since that point in time, we have been changing. I'm reading some histories that I hated history when I was in school, and now I can't get enough of it. What's wrong with this picture? I don't understand. But the Sino-Japanese War of the 30s, late 30s, atrocities and horrible things, and I can't picture people doing some of those things to each other. And then we have Ukraine and Russia. And I simply have to pause. So some things we're moving on, and we're gaining, and we're learning. And we are not the people we were, thank God. But we're moving on. We're moving on to perfection. Let me ask you, are you moving on to perfection? Not good enough. Are you moving on to perfection? Come on. Are you moving on to perfection?
Yes.
Amen. Think about it. Put it in the front of your mind. Realize that we have places to go, things to do, and we aren't there yet. Some of us are getting a little aged. I am, Shelley, she congratulated me on being retired. I said, "Do I look retired?" And she said, "No." I guess that's good. I don't want to sit on my laurels, and I want to be continuing to move on. Those of us then who are mature, be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Let us move on to perfection. Now, some of you are wondering, is the pastor going to talk about that New Testament passage from Jesus? And you know, this is not from the lectionary. It must be spring. See my nose? It's a barometer of pollen. You have my apologies. Where was I? It's a scripture, the New Testament. Do you remember them? There were two passages Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the seed for the mustard plant. I have done some children's moment with the mustard seeds, and they're hard to do because you lose the mustard seed every time. They're little bitty little rascals. They're about the size of a period on a piece of paper. They're little tiny buggers. But they grow to be these huge bushes. They continue to grow and grow and grow. That's how we're supposed to be as well. The seed doesn't just grow to a certain size and then just shut down. We are moving on to perfection. And yeast. I don't do a lot of baking with yeasts. How many of you have used yeast in baking? Gals, help me here. And I did once. I decided to do some, and I bought a loaf of pre-frozen loaf of lug of bread stuff, and you're supposed to warm it up and then put it in a pan and cover it with a moist towel. Well, I looked in there, and there was this thing growing out of my oven. What in the world is happening here? That was pretty astonishing. And then you're supposed to punch it down and do other things. I don't know my way around baking. I apologize. But you leaven that dough, and it grows, and it grows. And there's tremendous energy in that. How many of you have tried to seal it and stop it? That would be kind of an interesting experiment, wouldn't it? Just see how long it takes before there is dough everywhere. We cannot be stopped. We cannot just say, "I've done all I can do, and now is my time to sit back." When God is finished with us, God will let us know, and we are not there yet. As a society, we're not there yet. As a church, we're not there yet. We're in an interesting place in the life of the church, and we're continuing to figure out where that is and where we're going and who we are. But God will guide us. God is with us, and we are continuing to change, and we are moving on to that perfection. So, that is the sermon for this morning. And it reminds us that we are not just standing on the premises. We're not just occupying the space. And our hymn is going to reflect that. It's called Standing on the Promises, not Sitting on the Premises. Amen?